Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us. It is hour number two. And coming up this hour, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. And we're also going to do our buy or sell NFL draft edition, one day away from all the festivities on the opening round Thursday night in Cleveland. All right. One other team that is interesting in this draft is the Denver Broncos. A couple of years ago, they took Drew Lock in round number two, a pick I loved. I liked Drew Lock a lot out of Missouri. I thought he was NFL ready, and I thought what he could bring to Denver was, you know, a team in need of a quarterback trying to land that position right since Manning retired. I thought it was a no-brainer. We're 2 years into Drew Lock, and it doesn't seem to be working out the way the Broncos want, and there's been buzz about them going after yet another quarterback. Sometimes, though, you have to look at your organization and go, look, we can just keep hitting and missing, hitting and missing, hitting and missing, and keep going up to the plate swinging, or maybe it's time we really, you know, they've done it. I mean, think about the Broncos. They have done it every single way, right, to try to find a quarterback. They don't, they're not trying to replace Manning because you can't replace a superstar, but they're trying to get a competent person that could be a solid starter for them going forward, and they have not been able to do it. They have tried the draft. Paxton Lynch was a first-round pick for them. They have tried free agency. They have tried a trade, Joe Flacco. Trevor Siemian got his chance. Now another draft pick, Drew Lock, young kid, SEC pedigree, setting conference records for passing, coming in, kind of having that initial rookie spark that you love where you kind of embrace him. But then after a while, that shine disappears. And next thing you know, you're wondering, man, is he the guy going forward? The Denver has to make a real serious play here. They have to make a decision because they have the ninth pick in the draft. And if they want a quarterback, there will be one available. One of the five should be available to them. But if they make that decision, it is once again admitting that the organization has failed to evaluate the most important position in all of sports and have done so for the last 6 years. That is tough for an organization to live with. Constantly bringing in people that you think is going to save your franchise under center, only to find out that it's been fool's gold, and it's been fool's gold in Denver for quite a while. The good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What a idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, the dumb. Here, the Wednesday edition as we roll along Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and spell Ron with two N's, please. What is the good of the day today?
Oh, the good of the day. We got to go to the Pioneer League where they actually might be pioneers themselves.
The Pioneer League, that is in like the, is that like Montana, Wyoming, and places in that is area?
It? I thought it was.
I don't know.
I don't know why I thought it was somewhere different.
Well, it might be. You might be 100%.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look it up real quick. I thought, for whatever reason, I thought it was more closer to here. No, it's Rocky Mountain.
Okay.
All right, Rocky Mountain region. So that's where the Pioneer League is. The reason they're the good of the day is that they may, they're going to go with something different this year to decide baseball games that are tied late.
Oh, good.
Instead of extra innings, and instead of adding the stupid rule of putting a guy on second, they're just doing away with extra innings altogether and going straight to a sudden death home run derby.
You know what? I like this for minor league baseball. I like this. I have no problems with minor league baseball being gimmicky.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize this, but most people realize this, but it's one of those things where you're like, oh yeah, I kind of. You go to a minor league game and you want, you know, your local hometown minor league team to win. But the organization, the structure of the organization is the only reason they're playing to win is to sort of build that into the players they're developing. It's really about player development. In the end, that's what it's there for. It's to develop ball players. So if you can mix up anything to just sort of generate interest or to just be a little different, to be a little quirky. I'm totally fine with it. In the minor leagues, I am totally fine with them being as quirky as they want to be with the rules. And I think this is brilliant because I can't imagine anything worse than a minor league game going 13 innings.
Yeah.
The Pawtucket Red Sox were in like one of the longest games in baseball history. And I'm thinking, who stayed all the way through in a minor league game?
Besides the great people of Pawtucket.
Exactly.
Who have nothing else to do.
Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of local pride with minor league teams. I live in Colorado Springs, and the Colorado Springs Sky Sox, people just adored them. But they existed so that the Rockies could send players down to rehab, right? So you're like, yeah, Todd Helton, go down there and rehab that hamstring. That's
what they're there for. Or they're there to, hey, you know what, you're still green around the edges. You know, let's fine tune that, and then we'll call you up to the big time.
And the Pioneer League, I think, is what, single A?
I believe so.
I don't know. I'm sure it's not on the level of like the Pacific Coast League or anything. But nevertheless, I like this idea. I like this idea. It's fun, It gets people home with a sense of completion. That's the one problem in baseball, right? Look, when I was younger, my father used to take us to baseball games at Fenway Park, and some of the games would be at night. And, you know, he'd have to get up in the morning, and we lived close to 2 hours away from Fenway Park. So we left early. And he wanted to beat traffic, because being in traffic in Boston is no joke, right? You may not get home till 3 a.m. if you live in New Hampshire. So we'd have to leave a little early and listen to the rest of the game on the radio. That was kind of the price of going down there. You want a completion. You want it, like, you don't want to take your kids to a minor league game and be like, hey kids, we got to go. It's inning 15, but yeah. I can't be here all night. Right. So you want the kids to be like, oh, awesome. It's home run derby time. Quick thing. The first time I went to an NHL game where they did that shootout at the end of the 5 minute overtime, I loved it. I love it.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I thought it was great. It was so exciting. So this has got to be exciting.
We live in a culture where we wanted some sort of finality to it.
Yeah. You want to go home like something was completed.
We're not, you know, Europeans that are okay with settling with a tie.
Okay with a tie.
But I'm with you. Keep it in the minors.
Keep it in the minors. Don't bring this up. But
I mean, unless it is just fantastic, they found the answer to be all, then you know what? Try it for a next pandemic shortened Major League Baseball season.
If 50 million young people said, I would love baseball more if they did this, Rob Manfred would absolutely consider it, right? He'd jump all over it.
Yeah.
If you had the youth of America that's been turning away from baseball for decades, if all of a sudden the young people were like, in unison, we would love this in baseball, he would probably throw it in tomorrow.
Yep.
Are you kidding? Yeah, but this good for the Pioneers.
But maybe he won't because we're all screaming, hey, give us a universal DH.
Right, and he still won't do it.
No, we'll just put the guy on second instead.
We'll change a lot of things, but the universal DH won't be one of them.
Can't give you guys what you want. You don't know what you want.
Exactly. All right, what's the bad of the day?
My computer turned off, so give me a second here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's like, I always have this list. I have the email popped up, and then all of a sudden it goes away. That's what it was. And this is really bad. It's almost sad.
It's like intermission at a drive-in.
Yeah. But this is...
It's time for snacks. It's time for fun.
Well, I'm glad you...
Head on over to the concession stand.
I'm glad you brought up snacks, because this is kind of almost a sad of the day.
Oh, okay.
There are millions of dollars worth of unsold Girl Scout cookies just sitting in a warehouse in Metro Atlanta.
Why? Why?
They didn't anticipate the lack of selling by Girl Scouts this year due to the pandemic.
If anything, I thought they would sell out the second the Girl Scouts came out.
I guess
they've got cookies to sell.
Which this doesn't really happen to me. I don't know if it happens to you. I guess there's a large portion of Girl Scouts that still go door to door in their neighborhood to sell cookies.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
They do?
I mean, parents are probably with them, but parents probably don't want to walk that beat anymore. They're like, no, we're not going to go door to door.
I thought that door to door stuff was phased out.
Yeah. But I guess, I mean,
seen one.
I guess Girl Scouts of America still kind of anticipate a good following of door to door. Or maybe they just throw everything in there. Like, yeah, they didn't even bring out the order forms to the office.
I was going to say, my daughter did not join Girl Scouts, but I've always believed that the reason the Girl Scouts sell cookies by giving the order form to mom or dad, and mom or dad take it to the company and go, hey, Susie's selling Girl Scout cookies. Sign up in room, you know, in the break room. I'll be picking it up on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing was is not a whole lot of selling outside grocery stores because that's where you normally see them now.
Yeah, whatever happened to those stories like, hey, little Jane and Janice decided to sell their cookies outside the dispensary.
Yeah, we didn't get those this year.
We didn't get those this year.
Yeah, I guess it was all
pandemic is right.
It was all pandemic related. Like people
working from home, there's no office to sell them. Yeah.
People doing, having their groceries delivered or just doing that. Hey, just drop them in the back type of deal.
Do you ever buy something from somebody even if you don't want it just because they're selling it?
Yeah, cookies all the time.
Yeah, I bought two things of fudge, and I love fudge, but my wife is like, no, we're trying to lose our sugar intake. But I just bought them because I was like, yeah, sure.
How supporting about the kids?
Your school trip to whatever, or you need a new band room or whatever it is that you're selling this for. Of course,
give me two or three. I'll do that from time to time. I won't do it for the Boy Scouts because they never have anything good.
No.
Like they need to step up their game. I don't need a big tub of popcorn. And that seems to be their answer to the Girl Scout cookie.
When I think about all the people I got to buy raffle tickets or whatever for my little goals in my youth, man, they were really, really trying to get me to be a salesman. Going around going, hi, would you like to support the band? We're trying to go to Washington, D.C. Would you be willing to buy these very inexpensive greeting cards or whatever it is it was? Yeah.
I agree. I'm terrible at fundraisers. Although when I was in college, my my fraternity put me in charge of fundraisers, and I was like, that's a big mistake, but I guess I have to take some job.
Right.
I did, however, latch on somebody, the previous guy said, hey, just call this number. They'll hook you up. And I'm like, all right. And I found this to be the most fun fundraiser, which was going to TV show tapings. Now, that can only happen if you're living in L.A. or New York.
Right, yeah.
But that used to be a lot of fun because, you would have these unknown shows that you never heard of, and they would pay you to come sit in their studio audience so that way they would have laughter. Or reaction in the studio audience.
Oh, that's kind of cool, yeah.
So, yeah, we used to get paid to go to TV show taping. So I got to see a lot of TV shows being filmed that a lot of them didn't make it.
Oh, yeah, you get to go to a lot of pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the shows I remember, I can't remember what the sitcom was, but it starred Tony Danza and Lori Loughlin.
You saw Tony Danza?
Yep.
He was in a pilot?
Yeah, and I don't know if you'll know the answer to this, Tony, but his character name in that failed pilot sitcom was?
Let me guess. It was Billy?
Oh, Dominic? So close.
Was it Antonio? Close?
Closer.
Oh, Tony? Angela? I love Tony Danza.
Yeah. But no, it just made me laugh because his character in that TV show was Tony as well. Failed pilot.
Always is.
Yep.
Probably in his rider.
And then there was another one I thought was really good. It took place. It was kind of like a Cheers type of thing, but it took place in a college like little restaurant or something. And that show didn't take off either. Or no, it wasn't
fascinating business to sit there and write a script and get a set and hire actors and editors and camera guys, and then praying to the Lord above that it lands on the desk of the right person that makes
it. Yeah, you film the whole thing.
You put all your money and effort and blood, sweat, and tears, and then hoping somebody will watch it and go, you know what? I want 27 of these things. And you go, oh, thank God. Yeah, what a wild.
I know. It's a weird thing. I mean, you do. They hire an entire production team.
Yeah.
Just on the hope that.
Just the hope.
Just the hope that the studio will go, yeah, all right, yep. We'll take you.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is I'm going to explain a major difference to you, Tony, between America and England. Now, we know of a bunch.
I know a bunch,
right?
Yes.
But there's one that just popped up recently.
Okay.
In America, due to the pandemic, we are experiencing a shortage of ketchup packets.
That's what I'm hearing, yeah.
And we might be having a shortage of chicken wings. Sorry, Lou Williams.
I did not hear that one.
Yeah, we might be experiencing a shortage of chicken wings.
That's not good.
No. But over in England, just 2 weeks into them kind of doing a soft reopen, that's how I'm calling it, where, you can't, places aren't at 100% capacity to do like the 25% or 50% capacity. We've been experiencing that. Most of our places that we live are past that now.
Right.
But 2 weeks into their soft reopening, England is run has a shortage of draft beer.
Oh, that's not good at all.
Just 2 weeks in.
2 weeks in?
2 weeks in.
That is not good at all.
So, yeah, you can kind of
remedy that.
You kind of guess what their pent-up frustration was during the pandemic. And just like, oh, the first thing I'm going to do is head out to the pub. And literally, the first thing everyone did is head out to a pub. And I don't know if it was a short-sightedness by local pub owners or what. But, yeah, there could be a shortage of draft beer heading to that country, which could start a civil war. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know how it works, you know, but I imagine beer shortage could be a good catalyst.
Ugh. Bring back the monarchy as a reigning entity.
Yes.
I'll make sure we have beer.
they never run out.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Hey, a reminder, Freol deep penetrating oil delivers 3 times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. It's also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and it's silicone free. Use it for rusted bolts and nuts, exhaust clamps, brackets, fuel tank removal, frozen emergency brake cables, axle nut removal, corroded U-bolts, you name it. If you need to get it done and you need to get it loose and you need to get it off, use Freol deep penetrating oil. They're available on the shelves at AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa, and also select Walmart stores. Again, safe on paint, safe on plastic, and delivers 3 times more lubricant. It's Freol deep penetrating oil. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up, we have got a buy or sell draft edition. I'm looking forward to that. We like to do that kind of thing in front of big sporting events. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Monday night, the Yankees were playing Baltimore, and Aaron Boone got ejected for arguing with the umpire on a where he thought Aaron Judge was tagged out at third base and he didn't feel like he was, and he came out screaming. And you ever watch a manager lose their mind over a call, like just go crazy, and you think to yourself, man, have I ever been that angry over something like that affected me in a workplace environment that I would just scream like that?
Yeah, would you get fired or just sent home?
Yeah, right? Would you, like, probably just sent home, like, you know. But I always wonder, because, like, he just came out on just screaming. But then I wondered, as I was watching that, I'm like, is he this upset that Aaron Judge was safe and was called out? Or is he upset that his team stinks? Like, what's more likely that his absolute vitriol coming out of the dugout?
I think the answer you're looking for is yes.
I think he was more upset that his team stinks than actually a missed call, right? I mean, I see these look, man. These managers that come out screaming and hollering. Some of it is to get a team fired up. Some of it's real, you know. It depends, but some of this is just, it's got to be built up frustration, right? The pressure, losing games, guys aren't hitting. You don't know why you're losing games. You didn't come out of the gate strong. Boston did. Like, it's all of a sudden you're like finding yourself in last place in a division you were favored to win. And it's got to be at a point where you just boil over, right? It's just, you can't take it. It's driving you crazy. Why am I tied for last in a division that I should be leading by 3 or 4 games? Especially when the Tampa Bay Rays got, you know, Blake Snell left the team, and you're feeling, okay, now it's our division.
Did you see when Bob Melvin got ejected just the other day?
Oh, yeah, Bob Melvin got ejected, right.
I mean, he had a legitimate argument.
Right.
But it seemed like the umpire was just like, I don't even care what you say, you're out. Like, I wish, you know, it's one of those situations afterwards, I want Bob Melvin to be mic'd up so we can actually hear what he said to him.
You know.
Because he didn't come out in a fiery mess. Like, we see a lot of managers come out in this, like, just this huge ball of rage.
Right.
And he came out, he looked calm. I mean, he was definitely arguing,
And he was right, because even on instant replay, you could see that, what was it, Andrus?
Yeah, Andrus.
Andrus was safe.
Yeah.
Even though he was called out, like the tag never, I don't know, whatever. But it didn't look like, I have a problem with that one. It already looks like the umpire, you know, had made up his mind, like, oh, if he comes out here and complains, I'm throwing him out of the game.
Well, when does it work? When does yelling at an umpire make him go, you know, Bob, you're right. I'm sorry. You know what? I'll change it.
Very true.
You know, you are doing it to establish. I get it. You are doing it to establish something, right? You're doing it to say, hey.
Could be leadership.
I know it's not changing your mind, but I am telling you I'm not happy with this. This is uncalled for. You made a mistake. Okay, that's legit. But it's not done to change the mind of the
umpire. No, I mean, it's also could be done to say, you know, to let you guys know, no matter what, I have your back.
Absolutely. Without question, right? It's again, a lot of it, some of it is theater, some of it is legit anger, but a lot of it is driven towards the idea of, I'm going to stick up for my guys, he was safe, or he made a good play, or he got that throw in on time. And I'm going to let him know that I know he did that, and by going out there and risking getting ejected from this game to fight the umpire on it. And I think for a lot of umpires, a lot of managers who do that correctly do send that message to their players.
Now, do you think it's ever for reason number three, which is I just don't feel like sitting in a dugout today?
Yeah, sometimes it is. Was it Tommy Lasorda or somebody? You said they used to do that when they were bored.
Yeah.
They would go out there just to fight. And then one of them, I think it was Lasorda, just saying sometimes he would go out there and yell like, how's your wife doing? My wife's fine. Good. Tell her I said hi. Like, it was just sort of those things where, like, the umpire knows you need to do this. You need to do it. And you just sort of go, all right, let's just get this. Let me just go out there and yell because I got to spark my team up. They're just dead. It's July 10th.
Right.
10 games out of first place. It's 97 degrees outside with a field temperature of 1,000. I just need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're the Yankees? No, I'm kidding.
You're the Yankees. You're 27 games out of first place.
God,
the media won't leave you alone.
That's an amazing situation going on. Like, even, okay, you know, the Dodgers have not, you know, they've, out of the last five games, you know, I'm not including last night's, but out of the last five games, I think they've lost four of them, right? But I'm not in panic mode. The Dodgers. It's like, no, you're fine. If I'm the Yankees, even though it's a long season, we always say, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I think I'm starting to get into panic mode.
You know, that's the thing. It's you always play this game with baseball. It's so true. Because it's 162 games, you go, it's still a long. When does it's a long season start getting into, hey, man, we got to win like 37 of the next 42 games.
Or yeah.
We're not going to make it. Like, when does it kick in that being sort of lackadaisical and, all right, win a game, lose two, win two, lose three. When does it catch up to you where you wake up and you go, hey, man, we're seriously out of first place by a lot. Like, we are seriously out of the consideration for a playoff. Even in the expanded edition, we're still way out. Like, when does that kick in? Memorial Day? When you start going, hey, man, we're now 15 games out of first place. Like, let's get our act together. But you're right. Before you know it, you go, wait a minute. We didn't get, we're not going to be able to get back into this.
Yeah.
Unless you win 17 in a row. Most teams play game with the leaders where it's hard to make up that kind of ground.
I think what the scary thing is that you have this, all your flaws are being shown right now.
Right.
And there's no way out of it. It's not like, hey, you know, once so-and-so gets back off the IL, you know, we're going to fare much better. We just need this bat back in the lineup, you know, team leadership, or we just need this pitcher's arm to get back into the rotation. I mean, they're not really suffering from major injuries right now, and it's just these guys can't hit.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to have this huge offensive juggernaut. I might be, maybe it's just me, I might be all in on the panic button right now.
Might be. All right, buy or sell draft edition coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Time now for Buy or Sell.
Buy or Sell.
All right. right, it's a game everybody loves to play, buy or sell, where we give a scenario, and then we buy or sell that scenario. And this is the NFL Draft Edition, tomorrow night, round number one. All right, Ron Culver, let's get this game underway.
Yeah, let's have some fun, right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number one goes to number one. We already know Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one, right?
Right.
I mean, it would be, at this point, the biggest shock of all time if Trevor Lawrence did not go number one. So here's my question to you, Tony. After hearing his name called, Trevor Lawrence will hug his wife before hugging his mom.
Oh, what a good question. What a really good question. I think he'll hug his wife first. I think.
Which is weird to say for a draft pick, by the way.
That's a really, really good question. If you're Trevor Lawrence, he's probably thought of this, right? He's probably positioned the room to be like, you sit there, you sit there, you sit there.
Well, wife is going to be sitting next to him.
Got to be sitting next to him holding his hand, right?
Yeah. Mom's right on the other side.
Right.
Which way do you turn first? See, now here's
the mother that drove you to practice, made sure your uniform was clean all
the
time.
God, you can spend a whole segment just on this question alone, right?
Or the woman that you just kind of met a couple of years ago and now you're sharing your life with, but you have to live with forever for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, right? I mean, because I got this question. I'm sorry, I'm not creative enough to come up with this question. This is a Vegas prop bet.
It is a Vegas prop bet.
It is a Vegas prop bet.
Wow.
I'm looking at it. Where is it? Wife is 5-8. I think mom was 2-1 odds or something like that.
I think the mom.
I think wife is the favorite, then mom, then dad, then it went sibling and friend.
The more I have let this stew, the more I'm leaning to mom.
Are you?
Yeah. The more.
See, here's
your initial question. I went wife, but the more I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking mom. But I don't know. That's
Here's my argument, okay? Here's my argument. You and I, we both have been married for a long time.
Right.
Not to each other, obviously. But here's what I know, right? I could hug my mom first, sure. And there, you know, no one would think anything less of me.
Right.
I'm waking up to my wife every single morning.
Well, that's the thing, right?
And the plan is to wake up to her for the rest of my life. Now, you could sit there and say, oh, well, what if you get a divorce? You know, mom was always there for you. Yes, but you're married. You're not thinking divorce at that moment in time.
And here's the other thing, too. If he hugs the mom first, right, then 7 years from now, 8 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, he might get off a plane. He might come home after being away for a couple of days. He may walk in the house. Kids run up to him, gives his wife a hug first, and she'll still say, well, I'm glad you hugged me first this time. She will never forget it.
Who, wife or mom?
The wife.
Oh, she will. Every argument.
When he comes home from like a 3-day road trip or 5-day road trip.
Yep.
Even if it's 10 years from now and he walks through the house and he gives his wife a hug, she'll say, well, I'm glad you hugged me first this time.
Instead of the kids.
Like, what are you talking about? Oh, I don't know. Remember the day you got drafted and you leaned over and hugged your mother first? I mean, we just were building a life together, but that's okay. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Every argument will be brought up.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what it could be. You know, it could be the fact that, you know, he forgot to mail the bill.
That's
you know,
true.
And now the car payment was late.
Yep.
I don't know why they have car payments. They should have paid in full. But, you know, this is their scenario, that they had a car payment, that he mailed the bill in late. She's like, oh, you mailed that in late, just like, you know, you were late to hugging me.
That's right.
First.
She'll always bring that up. All right, what's the second one?
That's a fun one, right?
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Second one, not so creative. The first three picks of this year's draft will be a quarterback.
Absolutely. I buy that 100%.
Even though, the Niners.
The Niners may have toyed with an idea of not, but
yeah.
The only reason they moved up was to do it. The only reason they moved up was to do it. Are they going after Kyle Pitts? Would that be the reason?
That would be the reasoning, yes.
Up? So is that a possibility? Maybe. But I doubt they moved up to get Kyle Pitts.
Well, that's,
Kyle Pitts is a great player, but I don't know if they would sacrifice that load to get Kyle Pitts.
And you already have one of the best the best up and coming tight end in the league.
Right.
You know, George Kittle is going to be there for a long time. Do you need like two top five tight ends? Because I have a feeling Kyle Pitts will be a top five tight end.
There was a buzz about Garoppolo not working out even after they went to the Super Bowl. So
there's
always been that kind of feeling. So this once they made this move, I think everybody was correct in the assessment that they were going after a QB. So I'm buying that 100%.
All right, number three, the Patriots will fleece the Falcons once again when they trade up for the number four overall pick.
So give me, what do you mean? Just steal that fourth pick for nothing?
I'm you know, taking that fourth pick and just giving them a bunch of garbage, just, you know, like a 28-3 scenario again.
I'm going to sell it because Terry Fontenot's a new GM and he's not part of the Falcon legacy of failure. I think he'll be sharp to know the plan. So I'm going to sell that one.
That's an
interesting idea.
The Bengals and Dolphins pair up their quarterbacks with former wide receiver teammates. Bengals will select Ja'Marr Chase. Dolphins will select Jalen Waddle.
This is really interesting. I think Penei Sewell should be the pick by the Bengals because I think in order, again, for your quarterback to throw touchdown passes, he needs to be able to throw touchdown passes.
Yeah, he's not Patrick Mahomes.
Right? And I think he needs to be upright, and I think that Penei Sewell should be the guy. But I do think sometimes there is an opportunity for something pretty dynamic, and the Bengals and the Dolphins have this really cool scenario where both of those guys will be available to them, unless the Bengals take Waddle, right? But I doubt that will happen. If they're going to take a wide receiver, they'll probably take Chase.
Yeah.
And
the Dolphins, Dolphins could go Waddle or they could go Devontae Smith.
I do not believe in sentimental, cool storylines. That's not what this draft is for. It's not built so you can team up with your college buddy. That guy has to be valued at that position. He has to be a need at that position. It has to be the right pick. It can't just be, wouldn't it be fun if the LSU crew got back together? They couldn't care less about that, right? That's not part of that. But there is it's not a reach, right? Ja'Marr Chase, it's not like Ja'Marr Chase is like the fifth best wide receiver and they're going to take him fifth, right?
He's the number one wide receiver
at that position, right?
And
this is very legitimate.
And where everyone kind of looks at it and goes, well, you know what? We can all see that these two wide receivers will go top 10.
So the game isn't legitimate or not, the game is buy or sell. I am going to sell this only because deep down I think Penei Sewell is going to be selected.
You think they got to go lineman?
But it's totally intriguing.
Yeah.
It is totally intriguing that could happen.
All right, I had to steal this one from Dan Shanka.
Okay.
Owner of Our Lads, friend of the show.
Very friend of good, yeah. Good.
Because I already know the answer to this.
Yeah.
But he put out his mock draft, right? And this is my question to you. Kyle Pitts will fall to number 13 for my Chargers to select.
Sell.
Come on. No one's with me on this. I'm a believer.
Didn't our friend D. Orlando Ledbetter say that the Falcons were leaning to Kyle Pitts?
No, this is in that scenario where they trade with the Patriots.
They traded out of that top spot. Quarterback.
Yeah.
Then it starts trickling. Okay, I got you. Okay. So the caveat of Shanka's.
Remember, they trade with the Patriots, and the Patriots don't select again until 15. So Kyle Pitts will not be available for them at 15.
Okay, so
for the Falcons.
There's a number of scenarios where teams will pass on Pitts. I got it. Okay. I'm selling it, but you know what? These mock drafts, you have to sell them. You have to sell them to the public, right?
Yeah.
So you have to throw in a mixture of fun, and I think Shanka did.
I'm all in, man. If that happens, I'm
going
to let you know right now. If that happens, I will not be working Friday.
Justin Herbert to Kyle Pitts would be fantastic. Oh, my God.
Believe me. I mean, as much as I think, you know, yeah, we need offensive linemen as well. To keep our guy upright for the next 20 years, or 10 years at least.
Right.
If Pitts was there, wow.
Amazing.
I would be all over the place. All right, moving on. If Fields, Jones, or Lance, because we don't know where Niners are going with that third pick.
Right.
So I'm
going
to assume one of these three guys will be available. But if just one of these guys is available for the Bears at number 20, and they don't select one of them, GM Ryan Pace needs to be fired.
I agree. I agree with that. Yeah. Absolutely,
because
I mean they're slipping a Band-Aid on this thing right now.
Yeah, Andy Dalton is not the answer.
No, Andy Dalton.
Nick Foles
is
not the answer.
No, these are beat up former quarterbacks who've had a brief taste of some glory and closing out a career. That's it. I think you got to tell your fan base you are moving forward and taking a quarterback. And if there is one available for them with that selection, they have to grab it. They have to grab it. That's what we were talking about with Fields earlier, right? At what point, if he starts falling like a rock, at what point does an organization go, hey, you know what? I may not need one this year, but I definitely need one next year or the year after. And this kid is really good, and I'm in an opportunity to take him. I'm taking him.
I mean,
now,
speaking
the Bears,
of that,
they need one, like, soon.
Yeah, no, they need one last year.
The Steelers, Ben might play 2 years, so you don't. But if the Steelers could take a quarterback in the first round, I would want them to take a quarterback in the first
round. Well, that's what I was going to say, too, is that assuming one of the five quarterbacks is still available at number 24 for the Steelers, who are in need of their next franchise quarterback, they will probably go defensive player with their first pick anyways.
Right. Yeah, that's probably true. The problem with the Steelers is, again, this is something, if you're a Steeler fan like I am, you've been wondering what the world would be like without Ben Roethlisberger, because the Steelers are an organization that they don't have 2-14 seasons. They just don't. Don't get me wrong, they can. I mean, they're certainly capable of that, like any team is capable of that. But they just don't. And so they're not in a position to get the franchise quarterback in the top three or the top four or the top five. They get it by having like a 5-11 season or a 6-10 season and somehow land Ben Roethlisberger with the 11th pick. So it's been a problem for Steeler fans because they know the Steelers should be good enough to win games, but not terrible enough that they could get a top quarterback in round one. So they got to find their QB around the 20th, 25th, 24th, or round two or three or four, and who knows what kind of talent level that's going to be. If one of these guys is available, grab him immediately. Just do me, this old man, a favor and go get him so I can somehow experience another Super Bowl title in my lifetime.
All right, this one's for your brother.
Yes.
The Cowboys would trade up only to choose a player they could have gotten with the 10th pick.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Absolutely. Oh, that'll be fun. On Friday, if we have that scenario, oh, that would be a blast. If the Cowboys move up and they take a pick and everyone's like, my God, what are they doing? What a reach. Yeah. They could have had that at 10 easily.
Say,
two future number ones or a one and a two.
Yeah, my thought process was Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, Patrick Surtain.
Everyone kind of believes that, you know, they're going to get Patrick Surtain, which will be available to him most likely at number 10.
Yeah.
But imagine if they traded up to like 8 or 7 to just draft him.
Amazing.
All right, I got two more.
All right, real quick, go ahead.
Zach Wilson will be the bust of this group, of the quarterback group.
I like him. I'm going to sell it. I like him. But he's playing for the Jets, and the Jets have a way of spitting you out, and it doesn't work out as well as you hope. But I'm going to sell it because I like Zach Wilson.
And then finally, Mac Jones will be the first to win a Super Bowl out of this group.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting. Because I was saying this about Justin Fields, right? If you fall down to a team that's got some pieces, right, that's competitive, but you fall down into their lap, like what if it's all smokescreen and Fields is taken and Jones is the fifth team? Fifth quarterback taken in the first round, he'll probably end up on a team that went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Or what if, he ends up
a starter or just being on the roster?
Just winning a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
What if he ends up at 15 with the Patriots?
That's legit.
You know, or what if Chris Sims came out with his mock draft, and I don't see this happening, but he had Justin Fields going number 32 to the Buccaneers.
Golly.
All right, so now flip it. Maybe it's not Justin Fields. What if that was Mac Jones?
Of course.
Falls to 32 with the Buccaneers.
No,
who, by the way, re-signed every single player on that roster.
Including Antonio Brown just happened about an hour ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who's to say that they can't go back-to-back?
Interesting. I'm going to sell it, but yeah.
Just because, I mean, it's hard to say, yeah, but
the guy who gets picked late is already on a team that's building something. You never know. So you're right. All right, that's Buy and Sell Draft Edition. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Jake Asman Show coming up next on Sports Map Radio. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Michael on Twitter. Trevor Lawrence comes home from a long West Coast road trip. Hi, hon, I'm home. Wife, hey, sweetie, I'm so glad you're home. Would you like a beer? Yeah, a beer would be great. Wife, then call your mommy and have her get you one. That will happen if he hugs his mother first.
Yep.
Draft night. She'll never forget it.
You're not going home to see your mom every single day. He's not moving in with his parents. He's going to have tons of money where he's going to be able to buy his own house. Wife is there taking care of the house.
Absolutely.
Wife will be there taking care of your kids.
That's right. So please sort of contemplate that. Contemplate that future. I want to leave
and
you
don't,
with
and one more thing. Don't hug them both at the same time.
Them. Right. Don't do that. Hey, let me leave you with a little YouTube gold. I found this the other day. So I do a lot of editing at night, and I am a big, huge Frank Sinatra fan. I love Sinatra. I've got like 25 albums of live stuff, regular stuff, early stuff. So I listen to a lot of Sinatra on YouTube when I'm doing some editing. And so YouTube made a suggestion that I might like Sammy Davis Jr. live in Germany in 1985 doing Mr. Bojangles. And I listened to it, and it was unbelievably brilliant. Sammy Davis Jr. was an incredible entertainer. He could sing, he could dance, he could play instruments, he could do impressions, he could do comedy. And I was so glad it did that. So the algorithm worked. You can find it on YouTube, Sammy Davis Jr., 1985, Mr. Bojangles. It might even bring a tear to your eye. It's so well done. He's so brilliant in singing that song and kind of telling the story of that song. It's unlike anything I have ever seen of that version, and Sammy was just brilliant. So, little YouTube gem for you as we close out this hour. The Jake Asmund Show is coming up next, and we'll see you tomorrow for even more draft conversation on Wake Up Call.